Amen. Well, if you've got Bibles here with you, pull it on out. We're going to be in and out of several scriptures tonight. I only have about 20 minutes, so we'll go lickety-split here. Let's go to Luke 10, verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Last week, I was all alone. My whole family was gone, out of state, many, many days alone. But I was blessed last week because the Donaldsons and the Penapintos both had me over to their homes. The Donaldsons on Wednesday night and the Penapintos on Thursday night. And they opened up their homes to me. They made me feel at home. They treated me to some great meals. There was beef on the menu both nights. And I liked that. I liked that a lot. And so I had some good meals. I was treated great. I was treated like one of the family. Had a great time of fellowshipping with my friends, with my brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I felt welcomed. I felt loved. And I was just very, very blessed. And as I was putting together this little talk for tonight, and as I was reading Luke 10:38, I was like, I bet you that's how Jesus felt. You know, when Martha had him come over and made him feel at home and took care of him. And this week we had some other families in the church, I think last night, tonight, and maybe even tomorrow night, that are going to bless a family that's just begun to attend here on a fairly regular basis. They've been here about 4 weeks now, and we have three families in this church that are blessing them this week with meals because they just had their fourth child, Solomon David. I love that name. And we're just blessed to be part of a church that, number one, loves God, but also loves people. I mean, really loves people. Doesn't just talk about it. Doesn't just say, oh, that's theologically the thing that we're supposed to do, but actually reaches out and blesses people, blesses one another, blesses new people. It's not always normal to have this kind of a church family and this kind of experience. And so to be able to be around people like you, and it's a real blessing. It really is. And I know that this comes from knowing the heart of God. And you're really being changed by Him. Selfishness is falling off. Remember that stuff we talked about a few weeks ago, that selfishness causes strife and division in relationships and in families? Well, when we get the heart of God, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, strife isn't an issue anymore. Instead, we start loving one another, like in real ways. We're there for one another. We're caring for one another. We're fellowshipping with one another. We're asking the pastor over for dinner. You know, awesome stuff like that. Turn with me to 1 Peter 4. Verses 8 through 11. Peter writes to the church, above all, in other words, on top of everything else, the most important thing, he says, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. In verse 9, it continues, and Peter says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Talks about serving one another, loving one another, being hospitable to one another. And then we see in Romans 12, verses 9 through 13. Romans 12, 9 through 13. The Apostle Paul says something very similar. He says that love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. And then he says, practice hospitality. That's what I want to talk about this evening. That's what we've been talking about. We've been talking about hospitality. The importance of it in the body of Christ. And again, I see so much of it here at Evident Life Church. But it's still a topic that I want to make sure that we discuss, because we're purposefully and intentionally, and I want to keep reminding us of that, that we are intentionally seeking out the lost and the lonely, sharing Christ with others and bringing them into the family of God, welcoming them into our fellowship. And so it's important that we are a place that's very hospitable, very welcoming to others. Because after all, God is entrusting us with those that He loves so dearly. And so as God is trusting us with others coming in to our family and checking us out, or coming in with all their baggage and their needs, and they just need our time and our energy and the blessing that we can bring them as the people of God, we just want to make sure that we're equipped and that it's on the top of our mind. Just the privilege and the blessing that we have to be able to be hospitable to others and welcoming to others. God encourages us to show real love toward one another, to practice us hospitality. And often in the Word of God and in the church, it's called the gift of hospitality. We need to show it to one another, but we also need to show it to strangers. In fact, hospitality is ultimately the friendly and generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, or strangers. Hospitality literally means to love strangers. It builds on loving one another that are in our own family to actually loving strangers, people that we've never met before, that we don't know, that haven't done anything for us. But we love them. We welcome them in. We serve them. It says in Hebrews 13, 1 through 2, "Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers. For by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it." Hospitality is not one of the 9 spiritual gifts that we find in 1 Corinthians 12. It's not one of those. However, it's mentioned throughout the Bible. And we're encouraged to be hospitable to one another. And we're encouraged to grow in that. Embracing biblical hospitality will cause the people of God to do several things. One is this: provide an environment where people feel valued and cared for. It will meet new people and help them to feel welcomed. Biblical hospitality will create a safe and comfortable setting where relationships can be developed. It will seek ways to connect people together into meaningful relationships, not just to get people to come in and sit in a seat and fill an offering bag or something like that, but actually really to connect people in meaningful relationships. I mean, the kind where you go out and have lunch after church, or you meet in the middle of the week just because you're being friendly to one another. You want to hang out together. Biblical hospitality also sets people at ease when they're in an unfamiliar surrounding. And y'all have been there, right? Maybe even the first time you came in here. It's like, okay, I heard these people are nice, but it's kind of weird. It's a little different. It's upstairs. You walk into a new environment, a new gathering with people that you don't know, and often you feel a little uneasy about that. And so we need to know that and understand that. And as people who love God, we need to make people feel at ease when they come here. And we can do that in a real way, not in a fake, showy way. Hey, come on in here. You know, kind of like the used car salesman approach to hospitality. No, I'm talking about just being genuine, being real. Okay, so I got a couple questions and I want some feedback. You ready? 2 questions. They're kind of one and two here. How can we practice hospitality here at Evident Life Church, and how can we be more intentional in showing hospitality? We could say to one another, but also to guests that are coming in. Let me throw it out there. Anybody have any ideas?
Painting party at the Donaldson's house.
Wow.
Making sure they know where the facilities are, the coffee and the water and all that kind of stuff.
Amen.
I think they're kind of looking to connect people to their peers.
Start with somebody that maybe feels like a peer to them. Yeah. And then move them on to the old people like me. All right. Any other ideas? Invite people to sit with you. Those are good. Yeah. Rochelle, your first time was Sunday, right? In an actual weekend service? Here, you've been going to the Women's Bible Study Tuesday night. You did that. But yeah, right in the front row with Tracy. That's awesome. Amen. And she's back. You broke all the rules, Tracy, but it worked. No, I'm kidding.
It helped because, you know, I knew actually a handful of people before I even came to the Bible study just from the House of Refuge.
Mm. Amen.
You already know, of course, if you meet somebody in your own setting, reaching out, introducing yourself to people in their setting that they're comfortable with, then they'll feel more comfortable coming in.
And so especially if you see somebody coming in who's new to the gathering, and if you know them or have any kind of relationship with them, probably you want to run up and say hi and welcome them and let them see a familiar face. And amen. Praise God. That's an example, though, of how those things matter. And they can put someone at ease. And it's just very important. It's showing the love of God to other people. I had a few ideas today as I was putting this together that aren't as good as many that we already heard right here. And those would be the welcoming all guests and even returning guests. Maybe it's their third time here. They're still getting to know the family here, and so we still need to come alongside of them and welcome them and chat with them and go serve them by getting them some coffee or something like that. Another thing might be don't allow someone to feel isolated or alone. If you see somebody who's newer and they're just sitting all by themselves, you know, over in the corner or something like that, or just in a seat, and maybe they got here early, which would be great if we all got here a little bit earlier. I'm just throwing that's extra credit right there. I wasn't planning on that one. But that way, when some of our guests actually show up a few minutes early, we'll have a few more of us here to welcome them and be hospitable to them. Don't just fellowship with people you know, but make it a point to fellowship first with those you don't know that well. You know, start there. Serve first and then receive. You know, give and then receive. Kind of what we talked about a few weeks ago. Give and then receive. Say hi to a stranger sincerely. Get to know them. I'm sorry if this seems like really remedial stuff, but I just felt like we're supposed to talk about this in the family room, because that's what this is. This is just our family time, our time to just talk about family life and church life and do some of this practical stuff. But as I was thinking, as we start conversations with people, That's an important thing. And we want to have good conversation with them. And we want to keep the conversation positive. And we want to make sure that we avoid topics or questions that may create division or discomfort. Right? And so there's just been a few that came to my mind here. And I'm going to throw them out there because I think there are a few that could relate to our church here a little bit. Just because of some of the flavor that we have here and some of the uniqueness that we have from some of the people here in the church. Why are you laughing, Sean? There's a pace. Here's some examples of conversation or topics that you may want to avoid. And maybe these conversations could come up a little more naturally when the guest wants to bring them up. Maybe, I don't know, months later or never. I don't know. But some of those might be, don't ask them if they speak in tongues and ask them to do it, like right when you meet them. So do you speak in tongues? Do you prophesy? Because I really would like you to prophesy over me right now. Oh, by the way, hi, my name is Eric. What was your name? You know, that's just something that may cause somebody to feel a little uncomfortable and a little on guard and maybe want to run or jump off the second story that we're up here on. I don't know. But, I mean, that's something. We love the gifts of the Spirit. And we love it when the Holy Spirit moves in His fullness in our lives. But maybe not a topic that we need to have with newcomers and people that we're just getting to know. You know what I'm saying? It's on our website. You know, they if they've done any research, they kind of know that's probably part of who we are. Another example is don't ask them if they homeschool. And I bring that up because we have a lot of homeschool families here. Several families that aren't homeschoolers also. But let's not ask that question right off the bat. Because what it can do, just kind of like the tongues thing or the gifts of the Spirit kind of thing, is it can kind of create an us and them. It can create division on things that aren't the main thing, aren't the big thing, that don't need to be topics or discussions, you know, right off the bat. If somebody comes here and they're a homeschooler like maybe one of you are, you know what, you'll probably run into each other and talk about that at some point. It'll be natural and it will work. If somebody really likes to prophesy, maybe they'll come forward during the prophetic time or one of our prayer meetings that they're going to come to during the week and want to engage in that, and you're going to get to see that that's important to them. Another topic or discussion you probably don't want to start off with is, what's your view of the rapture? You pre-trib? Post-trib? Anyway, these can be divisive. They can give the impression that everyone here fits into a certain mold. We don't need that. We don't need to create that kind of a perception here, because it's not true. We're a very diverse church. We have people with all different backgrounds in all these areas and so many other areas, different views on how to live out the Christian life and stylistic, you know, opinions on this or that, and are at different places in their walk with the Lord. And so we don't need to right off the bat try to create this environment or accidentally create an environment that can be divisive or put us even in a box. Let's focus on the big rocks, things like Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Do you love Jesus? It's like what Larry said as he was changing our tire. You know, so, do you guys preach the Bible? All right, that's good enough for me. You know, and then we take it from there. And we talked more to Larry about some other things too. But we start at the big rocks, right? Not at the stylistic things, not the personal preferences. Instead, ask them questions like this. You ready? How did you find Evident Life Church? How'd you find out about us? Do you live in the area? Really, how long have you lived in the area? Oh, you're just new to the valley. Oh, any questions you have? You know, this and that. Or, oh man, you've been here that long. Wow, that's great. You used to live over in Tempe, now you live in Gilbert. Or, oh, really, where? Just casual conversation, get to know them. If they've got kids there with them, you can probably talk to them about their kids. Maybe they're not their kids, I don't know. What do you do for a living? Maybe they're going to say they're unemployed. They've been out of work for quite a while. That might be able to lead you into another one of the suggestions I have. You know, as you're talking with them and just getting to know them, maybe you're going to find a prayer request, some kind of need that they have, and you're going to have the opportunity even right then just to say a short and sincere prayer and ask God to show up and meet them at their place of need. That's showing somebody love and care. Maybe you want to just ask them if they want some coffee or some cold water, because we have that on Sundays back there. Wednesdays, family room, we got pizza. We have extra pizza, by the way, if somebody wants a piece on the way out. But we, you know, we have pizza or subs or whatever on Wednesday night. But, you know, just serve them. See if you can help them out in some way. Again, the Bible tells us to be hospitable, to create a safe place for people to feel loved and welcomed. And everyone in the family has a role to play. Some people say, oh, my gift isn't hospitality. That's a cop-out. That's a cop-out. It's like saying, my gift isn't loving people. That's not my gift. My gift is telling people where they're wrong. My gift is pointing out their problems. No, come on. The gift of hospitality is the gift of just preferring other people and loving them and caring for them. It's, for some of us, it's more of a stretch. And for some of us, God's doing a lot of work in our lives, and we need more of that sanctification in our lives in that particular area to be a little softer and more attentive and alert to people's needs and their feelings. Some of you men, maybe that's a little harder than for the women. But not always the case. God can grow us in that area just like He can grow us in any other area. Just like he can take you from being somebody who blows off the handle and gets angry at your family, you know, when they spill the milk, God can heal you of that, and he can take that away, take that out of your life. He can then take you all the way to the other spectrum, to where you're just a walking, talking blessing and just showering people with love and blessing and care and serving them. That's what God can do. The grace of Jesus Christ is that powerful. And it's at work in this church because I see a people who are living that way, who are changing, who are loving one another, who truly, sincerely care for one another. And so it really just comes down to, let's be intentional about it. Let's keep it on the top of our mind. Because it's easy to get sidetracked or distracted, even like what we talked about on Sunday. We're encouraged to show hospitality to one another. And I want us to continue to grow in that too. You know, Don Shrine, he's a big advocate of this. Don is an advocate of, and for those of you who don't know Don that well, he's one of our elders. And he has to work on Wednesday nights this summer. And he is so bummed that he's not here because it was his whole idea to have the family room. So he's very disappointed that he can't be here every week. He was here on the 4th of July because he had that night off. But Don really has a heart for wanting to see the body of Christ, like, sincerely befriend one another. Hang out with one another. Come to church, yeah, worship, fellowship, and break bread and communion and pray and minister to one another in church gatherings. But just go have lunch with one another. Or go have breakfast or play ping pong. Don and I play ping pong. And I'm going to put this on the recording. Don, you haven't won yet. Maybe someday. God is able to do anything. I mean, because this blesses the heart of God when we love one another that way. It really does. When we care about one another enough to where we shoot somebody an email and say, hey, let's go have lunch this week. You know, I'd have breakfast with Sean, but he gets up like at 2 in the morning, so that one's out of the question. Anyway, you hear what I'm saying? Hospitality. It's something that we're good at here, but God wants us to get even better at it. And we can because we're becoming more and more like Christ. And so as we do that, we're going to love one another more and more. But I want to encourage us to be intentional about it. Just like in this short amount of time that we had that Q&A time, there were some great ideas that came forward. I want to encourage you, if you have great ideas for hospitality, if you want to bring them forward to the leadership, do that. But even better than that, just start doing them. Just start doing them and letting other people see it and let it catch on, kind of like a good virus. Hospitality. It's a good thing. It's a really good thing. So let's go to a time of praying for that. I've got some things that can help us get started in our time of prayer. We can pray for the guests that God brings us, that he's going to be sending our way. Just even begin to pray for their lives, like I do for my children's future spouses. You know, I've already begun praying for them, knowing that they're going to come into my life more than likely at some point in time. And so I'm already going to start praying for them. The guests that God is bringing, the family members that God is yet to bring into our church family, let's pray for them tonight and let's bless them. Speak God's favor and blessing over their lives. Let's ask God to help us to grow in this gift of hospitality. And let's continue to pray for the lost and the lonely, that they would find a place here at Evident Life Church, or at least somewhere in the body of Christ. Amen? Hey, I wanted to say a couple other practical things about welcoming and being hospitable and new people coming in, specifically even on Sunday mornings. You know, we have the Donaldsons who've stepped up, and they are the heading up the welcoming team. But that, like I said months ago, that doesn't mean that they're the only welcoming people and the rest of us just kind of come and do our own thing and they're responsible for making everybody feel comfortable and welcome. No. They're just stepping forward to lead and to do a lot of the dirty work, actually, a lot of the preparation and getting things ready. And it's just been great seeing Sean opening the door for people. I hope you all have been blessed by that. But I want to encourage you this, that as they are saying hi to people and as other people on the welcome team are actually being the first connection with people and just saying, you know, welcome to Evident Life Church and hi and asking their name and doing all those types of things, then they're going to pass them off to the rest of us, okay? They're not just going to say, okay, great, wonderful, there's the room, good luck, you know, hope you like it. They're not going to do that. And so what they're going to do is they're going to look for some of the rest of you and say, you know what, I learned that, you know, so-and-so is a techie kind of guy, so I'm going to bring him over to James, Patty, and I'm going to introduce him to James, you know, and to Bethany, and kind of hand them off and say, hey, this is Bob. Bob, this is James, and James, Bob was telling me how he kind of works for this tech firm, and they do this, and I know that you have some experience with that. Boom, kick off the conversation. You know, it's just connection. It's networking. It's introducing, you know, people, and it's just showing love to one another. So I just want you to be ready for that, and after you talk with somebody that you've just met or that somebody's just introduced you to them, the best way to end the conversation, especially if you got to run after a kid or something, that you got to do something else because maybe you're on the worship team that weekend or serving in some other way, the best way is to pass them off to somebody else and to introduce them to somebody else in your church family. So those are just some practical things. So just, we're all the welcome team. We're all the hospitality team. You all have the gift of hospitality. We're all growing in it, and it's awesome. It's already good, but it's going to be even better.